Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
It's The Breakdown. Jamali Maddox with The Hook. Today, man, on the podcast, we have People Just Do Nothing. If you don't know People Just Do Nothing, get to fucking know. It's a sitcom. It's on BBC. It's truly, honestly, it's funny as hell. Because I know sometimes when people are interviewing people, they go, and it's truly, truly, this show is hilarious. You know, and we talk about everything, man. We talk about the show. We talk about strip clubs. We talk about weed, you know. And what was really nice about talking to them, and what you realize is you really get the vibe of it's just a couple mates who done a thing. It was good. It caught fire. And now they're being successful together. But genuinely, man, I hope you enjoy the podcast.
Jamali 9000.
I remember I saw one of your, I was at Bestival.
Oh, yeah.
And I saw one of your champagne dances. Yeah. It wasn't last year. I think it was like a couple years back. It's when you were on the smaller stage.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was the champagne room?
Yeah, Champagne Stevens. Was it in like the Bollywood tent?
Yes. Or something? Yeah, that's the year I saw it. That was, Festival. That was vibes. That
they won't give us anything.
We played a different one last year.
Did we?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
You were partying too hard. Don't remember.
I don't know, man. I was freezing.
That's when you were newly single, innit? So you can't remember.
Oh, yeah. That was
single. Oh, okay. That's how you know it. That's when the change happens. Are you not single now? No. Just reliving that freedom.
Yeah, that was a great festival, actually.
Yeah, I've been. Bestival's a good festival. I like Bestival. Mm. I have all the festivals. One of my, it's up there.
Yeah
I like Bestival. It's like the music vibes are decent and that.
Yeah, good.
But how long you man been doing the live shows for now?
I don't even know. Like probably after the first year of doing our YouTube stuff.
About 6 years.
Oh, yeah. From the YouTube stuff?
Yeah.
Oh, so it wasn't even when the BBC show came out? No, BBC show came out 2012?
We did Mr. Jam. Like, he invited us on and we did a little set on it. And then since that, we just started getting bookings. But they weren't, like, great bookings. They were, like, empty clubs in Ipswich and shit. Like, we had to learn our craft.
Yeah. You had stuff
proper,
on the bottom.
Literally.
Yeah.
Like, buying your own drinks at the bar.
Yeah.
Like, so, no green room.
Was you doing, like, the Liquid Envy runs? Was it more PAs then?
No,
it was the opposite. It was, like, just fucking, like, an hour of DJing and us just spitting.
No plan either.
We didn't even have any vinyl.
Wow. So you're carrying in crates and shit. That's how you know you had to get vintage when you're carrying in the crates.
The first time we did Glastonbury, we had to drive ourselves there and then just drag everything we had us through the whole festival.
Pissing rain.
Trying to call people. Like,
we didn't know where
did we go? Switching at people.
Well, did you want to do the music?
Originally, yeah.
So when was the change of doing the music from then doing the sort of the show? Where is that line between it of like how serious you're taking the music thing and how serious you're doing the? You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
where is it?
It's not that black and white. Basically, 10 years previous to meeting each other.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not 10 years, maybe 5-6 years previous.
Yeah.
We met when we were 19.
Yeah.
We used to do pirate radio.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
You know, and separately because we're from different ends. And then when we met up, we used to talk about that. But really, he was making hip-hop, I was into rapping, and that's how we kind of met, really.
Oh, just, so you was doing the UK rap thing, like the skinny man vibes. And...
Yeah, exactly. We're mad into like 90s American hip-hop.
Yeah. The Brain Tax.
And only. Not
the Brain Tax.
Keep it slightly road, the skinny man.
Yeah.
Skinny man K-Lash.
The Rodney P.
Yeah.
We'll keep it Rodney P.
Jest as well.
Jest is dope.
You know, Task Force.
Yeah.
I feel like that's when we was like, oh, right, people in England can do it as well.
Yeah, I remember the first time I saw your thing was, I remember my boy Omar, because my boy Omar, big up Omar, and he used to have this shed that we always used to go around with smoke weed in the shed and used to mess around in the studio. And he said, have you seen this? Have you seen this? Have you seen this thing on YouTube? And I'm like, what are you talking about? And he showed me this thing, and I remember the first scene I saw, Chapati G, was it Asim? Asim's his name?
Yeah.
Good dude as well, he's a nice guy. And I remember it was him sitting in this chair, and he's talking about fighting. Yeah. He's talking about this martial arts, he's this thing he's made up, and he goes, jungle jiu-jitsu, and he goes, I'll make him tap out on road. And I remember I dropped to a knee, and I was like, this shit is hilarious. Cause I never, you know, and then I saw the more of the episodes, and there's one episode that I thought was from the online series, and it was how you two are bantering in the car, and he's like, and you're like, yeah, man, like, cause I'll be my guy, I can do it too. You go, yeah, but not like me. And it was, do you know what I'm saying? That was crazy.
Yeah.
And it was funny, and then it got picked up into a TV show.
Mm.
So what was the idea of why did you start doing the online stuff? Like, where did the online video stuff come
from? We like went away with like me, Sipa and Steve, who plays Steve's.
Yeah.
We went away.
It was a big thought in the day on that one.
Yeah.
You're going to be Steve's.
And we just,
said that we had an idea like for these sort of idiots, basically. And then we got back and kind of didn't really think anything of it. And then Steve, like his mate, worked at some production company, had cameras.
Okay.
And he came around to my house and we filmed something.
And Asim used to film like hood videos. So he had a camera.
Yeah, and weddings.
He used to do the hood videos.
Yeah. And weddings.
Yeah. Well, he was a rapper as well. And then just used to film a little low budget. And so that's what we used to do, basically. We used to just like want to spit and make little videos. That was as far as our sort of creativity.
That was priority.
Yeah, exactly. Weed and that was that
priority.
Was
And what year was this?
This was 2000 and between 2006 and 2000.
Okay, so we're talking about lemon era of weed.
Yeah.
The blue cheese when it was coming from Birmingham for that
cheese
press.
Exactly,
we're talking about that blue cheese era. Yeah.
To travel for that.
Yeah. I remember the blue cheese era. Okay, that's how I remember dates. Bro, I remember when it was 120 an ounce.
Yeah,
man. And younger people look at me crazy.
Crazy.
Yeah. That's
kind of my job was doing things like that, basically. Mm.
And so then when you got picked up for the TV show, what was your thoughts about that? Was that like a good thing, or was you kind of like, we're kind of just happy doing the online thing? Or
no, it definitely was a good thing. It was a surreal like thing, but we were like hesitant to trust.
Us being from like you know, jungle, garage, grime, underground hip hop, but like we always had that whole like, you know, don't trust people that are trying to change it. Mm. That's got to be exactly how we want to do it. So our initial meeting kind of was like that when we met up with John Petrie, because he's the guy that reached out.
Big up John.
Yeah, big up John, man. And the company's run by Asha Tala, who made The Office, who was our, you know, one of our biggest comedic inspiration. Yeah. And but the first thing we said, we were kind of like, you know, we're not performing monkeys. You know, we want to do it how we want to do it. Happy to learn.
Mm. Yeah.
But if you lot want to help kind of harness
that. I guess you've, you know, especially from the jungle, garage, grime, especially. Cause I've got more. I think you guys are a little bit, I'm 27. How
I'm
you
32.
I'm 32. You're a little bit older than me.
Yeah. And I'm your older.
Yeah.
I'm 33.
Oh, you just yod up in this motherfucker now.
Exactly. That's why I'm just closing my eyes. And
just nodding the log.
Yeah.
I shan't drink any beer. I'm just, I'm vibing.
No, I drive, guys. I've grown up.
But yeah, but like, I can understand that feeling though, because I guess it's that sort of thing of, you know, seeing what sort of commercialization's done to the culture. It sort of does water it down. And I guess you're, especially where it's like, because one thing I loved about the online, especially in the, and it's not, and it's good that you encapsulated it with the sort of the BBC One show as well, and it was a good balance, is the rawness of it.
Mm.
Do you know what I'm saying? And you can lose that. That's easy to lose, man.
Definitely.
You know, especially when a lot of people's opinions get involved in stuff. That's not like one of the things where it's like, oh no, that stays. That's not a definite.
Yeah.
At first, I felt like, because Beats was very similar to Grindr, like they're pretty much the same with a bit of like
on paper. If you read the lines, you wouldn't be able to guess who it was, kind of thing.
So they were like, you need to change Beats, and I at first wasn't really feeling that, but they
you
were
to be as powerful as Grindr,
exactly, because it actually really hurts me that I'm not. No, but it makes sense.
But the thing is, because you guys had no sort of like experience in comedy.
We had no clue about life.
And about life.
We had sex twice.
Yeah. At that point, three times now.
Three times now. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're right. Yeah, we like I never wanted to be an actor. I never wanted to be a writer. I never, comedy was just something that we were, it wasn't like a job thing. It was just something we used to fuck about. And like,
but it's definitely natural though, because it's like, it's classic comedy. And I used to go, I'm a fucking comedy nerd. And it's the even just the relationship between Beats and Grindr.
Yeah.
It's classic Lauren Hardy. It's you know what I'm saying? It's classic tropes.
But I think like when you're younger, you think the only way to get into comedy and stuff is by going to like an art, performing arts school. Yeah. And like, you have to like learn about.
You have to wear leotards.
Yeah.
And do dance and shit. And sing musicals.
Because of YouTube and stuff, like
it's opened the world up,
yeah,
hasn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
But you literally don't have to do anything anymore.
You have to have a camera and somewhat of a formed idea, and then they'll do it. But no, because it is that. I get it. It is that. It does feel real, like unachievable. And and if you think about it, we're even lucky that we you grew up in London as well. What, Brent, isn't it? I'm from like Ilford, so we both from London.
Yeah.
And it's like that weird thing of like, you know, we're actually lucky that we live in London, because I can't. Sometimes I'll be on the train going somewhere, and it'll be like a town in the middle of nowhere, and mate, I'd hate to be here and have a dream.
I know. Yeah, yeah.
Well, you go like the beef from here
was kind of on the border, because I'm from like Cheshire and New Malden, Kingston. It's like southwest, greater London. Everywhere where I would, everyone where I'm from was kind of either, you know, labourer or prison, or you know, and it was kind of just like that was their only mentor. It wasn't like the ghetto, but it was like nothing really gets achieved.
Yeah.
It wasn't until I went to college, started moving further out, met people that rappers that took me around to producers' house, who was him, introduced me to, and that is the whole sort of, I always say it like that, lucky to be in London mentality, where people just try things and are creative. Mm. I didn't know anyone creative, like I was the only that MC, you know what I mean? And through going raving and meeting other people and hanging around.
It's kind of coming out of that bubble.
Definitely.
And it's coming, but I was East London and I was like, you know, picking about if I'm going to go to college. I went to college in Central London.
Right.
And I started meeting like people from South and all these different. Yeah. And I'd done acting.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm terrible at it, but I gave it a grab, mate. No, trust me, mate. If you see some of my showreel stuff. I've got real like, give me the money now. I've got that real monotone voice.
Yeah.
I'm shaking, holding a knife, but I've got typecast. But you know, it's that weird mentality to check. So when you was in college, what course was you doing?
I was doing music tech.
Oh, you was doing music tech. So the music was always about, what was you doing?
Yeah, I actually did performing arts for a year.
Oh, you did perform arts?
I hated it. If they tried to make me dance and sing and shit.
How did that go down?
Not well, it was horrible. So But I always like had decks and made music on my computer and shit. Mm. So I done music technology.
And that's when you was DJing and that.
Yeah, which was still terrible, to be honest. Like, they're not, when I was there anyway, they were just, old techniques and shit. Like,
it's moved on, isn't it?
Yeah, I
just feel like teaching creativity is like, it's sort of like, I don't know, like you can learn the basics, but.
For real.
I mean, technical things, fair enough, but like, I don't know.
That's like when people say to me, like, oh, how do I get into comedy? Mm. Should I do this comedy course? And I say, you can.
Yeah.
You can do a comedy course, or you could save that money and just go do it.
Yeah, exactly. I still want to get into comedy, to be honest.
Do you want to do stand up?
No.
You'd never do stand up.
Did you do stand up?
Terrifying.
Why? Yeah, what's the terrifying aspect of it?
Just like no one laughing at my jokes.
Mm.
That's like life, though.
Yeah, I know.
That's just an everyday occurrence.
But with three people, it's all right. But with like a room full of people, it would be horrible.
Yeah, I do find it a little bit terrible. Yeah.
Would you would never do it?
Nah.
I could go up and not be myself and be a garage MC. That's all right.
That's what we do.
So is that, did you not fear going up there?
That's music. That's something like for us.
But you're high, because like, you can be behind
14
the
years old, is doing
yeah.
it. So it's like, and but, we're drunk.
Yeah.
And you can fuck up.
Yeah. But doing them meant to be idiots, sober
it's
fun. Doing them sober is a whole next vibe as well. Because I didn't drink for a long time. So I got completely sober.
And completely naked.
And completely naked.
I'm not saying your tunes ain't dope. Because your tunes are fucking dope too. Like I actually vibes to your music. On the real one. Like, real tunes. Like actually like dope. But like the bars are dope. And it's like, and it's funny shit. And I, you know.
That's,
like, you know,
that's him, man. The bars are.
Yeah, yeah. It's dope. And it's funny. But you know what I'm saying. It's not terrible music. That's one of the things as well. Is why it probably works. Is even though it's funny.
Yeah.
And it is funny, and it is, you're making a joke, but there actually seems to be some craftsmanship in the bars, because you're not just I think there's nothing worse. This one of my pet peeves is when people are taking the piss out of the culture.
Yeah.
Badly.
Yeah.
And you sort of be like, it's the sank about it. And there was an era when I was coming up doing comedy where he just had a bunch of these sort of like, I'm gonna put it out there, middle class white people. And they would go up and they'd do the yes, yes, your bloods. And he's go, bro, just what the fuck are you doing?
Do please stop.
Yes, just stop, man. Because it's the, you know, and it's that thing of you're not laughing with me at my culture because you don't understand the element of it. You're laughing at my culture. You know what I'm saying? But then that, there's not a vibe of that in your
show.
And that's why
I was worried, like, people might think that about us, to be honest. But because we care so much about the culture and we come from it, I feel that comes across. I hope that comes
I had an arrogance where I didn't worry because I am from the culture. So I feel like even I'm more, like, that was my whole life, you know, like, pirate radio. Raven.
What part of radio was you on?
I was on like Rampage FM.
Oh, Rampage. Like,
Rampage Flex FM a little bit. Like, and then I'd do a little bit like I'd been on Image FM sometimes. It's like, you know, that was like my whole life. And I used to run Corrupt FM with my mate. That was like a real
station.
Oh,
that was actually your thing.
Shit. It was like Rampage FM stopped. So then my brethren, his mum moved out. His mum met a fella, moved into a proper yard, and then he still had the council flat to himself, so we just turned it into pirate radio.
Yeah. I used to listen to Deja Vu.
That was my vibe with Deja Vu. From East,
and it was a nasty crew show.
Ours was like Delight FM.
So what's are we talking about? So when you was coming up, this was Jungle Garage. Yeah, where had Grime come in yet?
Grime was I started before Grime.
You started before Grime.
Well, like the early. You know, like Slimzy, that sort of like when Garage became dark. Like, I was never into the like singing Garage and that. I was a bit too young. So I was into like the dark side, MCing, instrumentals, you know, Eskimo, exactly.
Did you ever jump on the dubstep?
No.
Yeah, that was too
late. But a lot of my friends were part of that. So I used to go to like Forward.
Yeah, up in Plastic People.
It was sick.
That was a good rave.
Yeah, big up Silky.
And then they changed the venue.
Yeah.
Can't remember they
now
had
it's a fucking wine bar. It's disgusting.
Do you know the whole of Shoreditch? Do you know what, man? Can't remember when I used to be young, I used to go Shoreditch. There's nowhere to drink in Shoreditch. Yeah. There's nowhere for us.
But Shoreditch, it didn't used to be like what it is now. No. It was a complete like just shithole, really.
Yeah, it was there.
And Plastic People, like, there was no one had a phone or like it was a blacked out rave and just a sick sound system.
I remember like the first time I walked in, because my sister was like, yeah, let's go to this rave Forward. And I was like, all right, let me go. And it's like you go down these stairs and it was like this little staircase and you could feel this floor shaking as you're walking down, and you get to the bar and it's literally like someone's just hammered in
the curtain
and there's like a plank of wood with like you had white spirit, so you had like you could have a vodka, you could have rum or a beer, and that's it.
You
ain't drinking that, I know. Water, we ain't got water. We ain't got that. No water for
there's
you,
no,
fam.
There's no green
You better hope
room.
That fucking pill don't kill you, because we ain't got water.
No,
you better hope your brain ain't swelling on
well,
that one. You know what I'm saying? There's no special treatment.
It's just about like whoever shelled it down.
And I remember I saw Hatcher there.
Yeah, there was like, literally no chicks as well.
There was never girls. And you couldn't talk to a girl there.
UK hip hop rave.
Yeah, like just
a lot of car heart.
Carhartt, new era hats.
One. With the no strap. It was just the flat back. You had to get your size.
Yeah,
I was a 7 1/4.
Deal
with
it. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
I got big head. It was hard to get.
Yeah for real. But then, with the UK hip hop, what was you vibes into in the UK hip hop vibe?
We was mostly into American hip hop.
What the night? Are we talking about golden era stuff?
And then some of the new like
Diplomats.
I was into like QB, like you know, Capone and Noriega, Nas.
The War Report. War Report's great.
AZ, Cool Mega.
Yeah.
Big Pun though as well. Big L. Yeah. Like that was my sort of shit. I was just an MC. Yeah, I was just cared about that at the time, and I was it's so much that I was ignorant. To, you know, like I was like, oh, that's not lyrical.
Yeah.
You know.
No, I'm still the same way.
As I started fucking chicks. Actually,
you got this War Report. Don't get the vibes going.
Exactly.
A bit of, hey babe, check this out. It's MF Doom.
Yeah, it's like the grungers of our era. Like this is just dark.
You can't be smashing no chicks. MF Doom, man.
But Doom as well as my guy. Top five for me.
Yeah, Doom. Yeah, Doom's under. Joey's is. Mad how people so just kind of forget about Doom.
Doom's sick, man. And Doom is Acton.
I think he lives in England now.
Apparently Acton.
Acton.
Apparently
he lives in Acton.
Yeah.
I like to. I don't know, but it's just he sort of just stopped.
Yeah, well,
and I love the character. That's what I always enjoyed about Doom. I'm not trying to get too.
I love the Madlib album.
That's a great album.
I used to love.
Yeah. Meat Grinder.
He was like a Jay Dilla Madlib.
Yeah, obsessed. I was obsessed with Neptune's Timbaland.
Oh, you like the producer more aspect
exactly,
of it.
Yeah,
I used to love all that.
Do you know what I was listening to the other day? And it was. I was like, this is actually a great album. It's a Quasimodo. Madlib's rapping when he's that's Quasimodo. A great album, man.
Madlib's sick.
Great.
He's still like he did no parties in LA, Kanye and shit.
It's all like crate digger stuff.
Apparently, he just like you can't get the files off him. Like you just get one file. That's it.
Really?
Yeah.
He still rocks like that.
I respect that.
Yeah.
So he can't fuck with it.
I don't know. I just don't. Think
that's what he's got in it.
He's just like, yeah, there you go.
That's what he knows how to do. So he's just like, listen, I can't send two files. That's what I know. I've got shit to do, bro. I ain't got time to be sending you files.
I'm not paying for a full WeTransfer account. Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. He's still got the basic WeTransfer account. Yeah. He's just like, look, I'm not paying the $19.99 a month. You have to deal with this.
Send me just an MP3. It is Kanye. Yeah, I don't know.
This is what he gets.
Yeah, I can't be asked.
So you see, now that you're in the world of acting, something you never wanted to be in, and now I would say never. I'm obviously if opportunity comes up. I'm not saying you're active.
It's like
I'm
music,
never gonna act,
like you're in tune to things, and like we were in tune to like British comedies as well, like Nathan Barley, Office,
Peep Show,
all that
Partridge.
Sort of stuff. Yeah,
yeah, we were just obsessed with that.
I've only seen a couple episodes. I'm saying but
you have to in an interview.
Yeah, you kind of have to. I would have ended this interview.
Like Chris Morris or whatever.
There is kind of that elitist attitude as well. Yeah. Even me saying it, like I know his whole back catalog. Chris Morris, of course, Chris Morris. We all sit here, stroke our chins.
Yeah,
let's be honest. We like The Office, and that's our era.
Yeah, exactly. But I always say it like I never wanted to be an actor. But looking back at it. The fact that we were filming ourselves on camera phones fucking about making each other laugh.
Yeah.
That was probably, you know what I mean?
So it's not your progression.
Yeah, we just didn't know. We just didn't think that's an option. Like, people on telly, that's over there. And, you know, like, it's pointless thinking of that.
Yeah, we used to do loads of weird shit. Like,
what'd you do?
Like, his family's house, like, his dad had the sickest wardrobe. So we'd, like, wear his dad's sunglasses.
My dad's, like, my dad's Kurdish, innit? Then they were trying to dress Italian, but the suit's wrong.
So it's, like, the Versace, and they want you to know it's Versace.
Yeah,
and they've got the massive thing there. Yeah, I know
fake,
that.
Like, we used to film ourselves dressing up and
prank calls.
Prank calls.
What happened to prank calls?
That's big, man.
That,
yeah.
You know what?
I
missed that era, man.
Yeah. Everyone's too savvy now, though.
I wanted to make a prank call album. I heard this one story that happened in Lithuania. This guy prank called, and they made a documentary about it. This guy prank called this guy for like, I think it was 13 years.
That's amazing.
And it was just, he prank called him like weekly for 13 That's years. It. And the guy would be fucking furious, right? And he kept it. And then one day he stopped. And then the guy gave the tapes to a person. And then the woman went and found the guy who was prank calling. And the old guy, it was this old grumpy man who lived in the middle of nowhere. And he actually said that he missed him.
Oh,
and he goes, it was fun.
It was part of his day that this guy would call him
and always trick him. And then they'd prank call him. But I remember I was listening to it was the Jerky Boys. And there was the You Kick My Dog.
Oh, yeah.
I've heard of them and heard little bits.
But yeah, I heard all of it.
You Kick My Dog was sick.
It was You Kick My Dog.
Yeah. Action Bronson had him on his show. That's how I found out.
Oh,
word. Yeah.
I've never even seen the face. And then you had the...
But then Phone Jacker, he smashed it.
Yeah.
Phone Jacker. Yeah, Terry Tibbs.
Yeah, man.
All that stuff. And the sick Nigerian...
I just love terrorising. That was my thing. Like in a nice way, obviously.
No.
Even now you do it.
Yeah.
I mean, because that's the thing is, like, you know, you say that. And you have to pre-emphasize it with fucking, you know, in a nice way.
Where we,
I think we grew up similarly, and that was what you did.
Yeah, basically.
You're terrible. I've got friends that, like, they ring me, and it's like the first word out of my mouth is like, you fucking piece of shit.
You know what I'm saying? We're not, and it's
but some people get the pranks wrong a bit, you know, like call someone up and say, I'm going to stab you.
That's me. Basically.
Don't do that one.
Basically, he taught me about, because like my sort of where I was from is a bit more like, so I used to call people. Up and be like, where are you now, you little pussy? And like, what? Where are you now? And then, and then I've done it with him. He's like, that's a bit psychotic, man. What are you doing? I was like, just pranking.
He's like, no. This is a different era.
Yeah,
this
he's talking about world. Accents and like finessing and like that.
He told you about the ethics of prank calling.
Yeah. Like, let's make
nice.
It fun.
Yeah.
But they got to hang up and be like, what the fuck was that?
Yeah, not terrified like, looking at their window.
Well, exactly. One of my friends changed his number. Yeah. He called me up and he's like, what did he say?
Yeah, we got beef. You need to tool up.
Yeah, he's like, who's F-Man? I was like, fucking F-Man. Like, he's asking me to check, even though it was just me. I was like, F-Man, fucking hell. I was like, yeah. Yeah, he's the brayer that fucking run up on the Travellers and shit, and even they didn't want it.
You're joking. That is funny.
I was like, well, not me calling me off. He's like, my dad's... he said his battery is dead. Yeah. But I told him, he's like, you're a prick. I changed my number and everything. That's
He left town.
Yeah, but yeah.
Them traveler dudes didn't want it. Yeah, right. Okay.
That's the most extreme thing.
He banged up 80 travelers.
Yeah.
You know, he's like looking at the floor. He's like licking your lips.
He's like,
shit. 80 travelers,
man. My whole life's fucked.
Yeah, I don't know if I want that. You have to move Barcelona.
What did I do?
Yeah. Just racking their brains. Do you know what though? Then I switched it up and I done one of my. Do you remember the one I did in Ben's company? So the guy that the guy that used to help us do used to be one of the cameramen on the YouTube stuff. Mm-hmm. He now runs a company called Brilliant. Yeah, shout out Brilliant Productions.
Yeah,
and I end up calling his and they're like, you know, like middle class. And I called up their office. I was like, hello, mate. I found out that. That they just had some vans rented out to put all their equipment on to go on a job that they just got booked for that TV job. And I was like, yeah, we're going to have to come down and get all the vans, mate. He's like, what? The guys literally just dropped them off, man. We put all the equipment in. And I was like, nah, yeah. Well, I'm literally coming down with all the boys. We're taking fucking vans back. And he's like, oh, what? They unloaded all the vans and waited there all night. I rang Ben to tell him it was a joke and that. He forgot to tell him. And then they said to unload the vans and fucked up their whole
job.
Yeah,
but that's funny.
Yeah, no.
It's like a bad is ruining someone's day. There is funny in that though. I find that shit funny.
I sound like a cunt, I'm sorry. Yeah.
What about your
just
day?
Just started blazing
you
again.
You know what happens. You blaze some cheese and you're like, listen.
I went on to the next, like, who's next? All right, cool. Let's do it. Bristol accent.
Yeah. That's just hilarious, man. So what, so are you sort of, what's your sort of plans in sort of acting verse? Are you trying to do other stuff or are you happy with the sort of like speed you're at now? Or?
I think, we're quite lazy, so we're happy with the speed we're at. But but I used to enjoy more of the like the improv scenes and the fact we're fucking about with our best mates. But now in the last few years, I really enjoy the acting part of it and putting some emotion into it and shit. Well, as much as I can in the role I do with Grindr. But I'd like to do some acting stuff. But I think we kind of like creating stuff so it can be in our own sort of terms.
Yeah, I think just naturally, naturally opportunities come at the moment because we're doing stuff. Mm. So like obviously if they sound good and then we'll try them.
But
they're not forcing anything, not gonna.
Yeah, it's hard, isn't it? Because it's all the pressure of the to keep the beast going, but at the same time you gotta do shit that you wanna do.
Exactly, yeah, it's a fine balance, man. Yeah.
But I'll happily take loads of money to help with something.
Oh mate, I'm waiting for my fucking sellout.
Oh, we'll sell out.
I'm waiting for my sitcom offer. I don't mean like a good sitcom. Hat to the side. What you cooking? I want to have a catchphrase. I'm ready for that sellout.
Yeah.
I'm ready for that. So you guys still doing the live shows?
Yeah.
I think so. We've just finished filming the last ever series. PJDN.
Oh, so it's done?
Yeah.
Damn.
So, we just decided to, you know.
Why? What's it? Because it was full series? Or fifth?
This one that we've just finished filming is fifth. And
What's the decision to sort of end it, man?
Just don't want to, like, turn it into some. I don't know, just keep it special. Like,
yeah.
Because if it just keeps going, it just, I don't know. Just it loses like its value a little bit.
And like, we don't have a massive writer's room. It's just us writing it. And it's just like, you know, you get to the point where you're thinking of the same ideas and you're like, you know, we want to end it on a high and keep it moving and move on.
Because I mean, all the best sitcoms sort of end quick.
Yeah,
I mean, if you look at, what's it, 40 Towers? Yeah. You know, your 40 Towers is two series.
The Office, two series.
Office,
well,
two series. You've got It Crowd.
Yeah, exactly.
And I respect that. So what was was that sort of like a unanimous decision or what?
Yeah,
definitely. How did you have that conversation?
Well, we always thought it was going to be like two or three series, but then because it's quite a slow burner and we're still learning on the job, we had a lot more to give to it.
It's not like the breakup of the Spice Girls.
It's not like
one person drops out and it fucks up the whole vibe.
No, we're with each other all the time for shows and stuff, traveling, and so there's just honest conversations.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How you liking the road?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, on this road, last still.
We're dug in, man. It's sick. It's surreal seeing just people that actually want to watch us.
Yeah.
I'm still like,
What the fuck are they doing?
There's someone else on that's way better than us.
Yeah.
Why are you watching this?
Why are you standing in this tent now?
Well, I say way better than us, but you know.
Yeah.
No, we're sick live, man.
Yeah.
We're trying to sell tickets for our show.
So. Where's your show?
Yeah.
You got a show coming up?
A tour, mate, not a show.
Oh, tour, sorry.
Tour?
When is the tour?
Later on this year.
Just check the website.
Huh? November.
That's how you know you gotta have a guy with a turn up jeans.
You
gotta have this guy with a turn up jeans and the glasses, but he knows the dates.
Yeah.
Damn right. Yeah, I know the dates. You know what you said? That's me, and I realized to myself, I was like, damn, Jamali, you changed.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like in my mind, I was like, fuck, you're right.
If I'm wearing it, it's not me.
Yeah, I was still living off the vibe of just like I'm who you stole the culture from. I've changed, man. Shit.
Tour life's coming November, yeah.
Yeah, tour. I mean, the tour. I remember like, I first started going on the road, man. It's a weird, like, you know, I had to really adjust to it.
Yeah.
You know, I had to really adjust to the shit food.
Yeah, but is yours more like day after day?
Yeah, wide, yeah.
Yeah, that's ours is cheating. It's like every weekend.
So you just do like the weekend
spot?
Yeah,
and that. Insane. And we like to relax.
And there's six of us.
You done overseas yet?
Yeah, Croatia.
Okay. More festival,
the English festivals.
Yeah.
We've done a show in LA, which was fucking weird.
Oh yeah,
how did that go?
Well, that was more of a like a press run for the DVD getting released.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it was a real show. It's like on a rooftop.
Everyone's just standing, and then afterwards go, "You're fucking amazing.
You're awesome.
Yeah, you're fucking awesome."
Do they understand what's going on with the garage and
the younger generation?
The people that were at that thing didn't really. Yeah. But like the youth.
They just there because they heard it's cool.
Yeah, because they've got like little warehouse raves that do like garage and grime. Mm. Like some kids was coming down wearing fucking TNs and nightcaps.
It's mad how the culture. Yeah. Coming by, I was in Serbia.
Yeah.
And people were telling me deep grime references.
Really?
And I'm like, sick. Damn, man.
Yeah.
Like,
it's the internet though, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Real
it just
one
travels.
World now. It's, yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
And Skepta and Stormzy. Do you know what?
Do you know what? Someone, I was in Morocco, and one of them Moroccan youths who were like working on the food stand. He's like, "Oh, where are you from? Where are you from?" And I go, "London." And he goes, "Shut up." And I go, "What?" Like it's transferred to here.
That's sick.
He's telling me, "Shut up," like Stormzy.
Sick. That's
and I was
sick.
Like, damn, the culture, just spreads on that. Yeah. I'm happy for it.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm happy for it.
Definitely.
You know, it's cool because I mean, I'm acting like I was deep in, I was like in bow with in the studio with Love Squad.
Yeah.
But like, I remember when it first came out. And one thing I do remember is I used to go to a youth club in Romford, and we used to be 20 hands on the mic all waiting to get on.
Yeah, no one listened to
anyone. It was, you know, one DJ. And it was like, you know, the era when it was coming up. And what I remember distinctly was it was different people from different areas all coming together.
And it
was a couple fights because you've got a bunch of young 17-year-olds in a room.
That's grime.
Yes, grime. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? That's
I'd hate
it
if they stopped fighting.
Yeah. it would really bring it down, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
But just keep it fist fighting.
Yeah. Fist fighting's fine. It's when it gets stabby.
When it gets real stabby.
Yeah,
you
know, that's
when I go. Them fights. That's when I kick out. That's I'm like, that ain't for my vibe no more.
I'm into stabbing.
Yeah.
I'm going back to New Hackney.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What Hackney's become that. So with the last ever season, and when's the last ever season coming out?
That'd be like I don't think there's a TX at the moment. It'd be like September.
And you filmed it?
October.
Yeah, we filmed it. Finished.
What was the feeling when you're making the last season? Because I mean, what's been your life for what, 4 or 5 years now?
Seven, eight years,
which is a long time.
Yeah, yeah.
So how was it like filming that last?
It was like to begin with, it's just normal vibes, like how we normally film. But then we did all the Corrupt FM stuff at the end, and
it's filmed in the last scene was actually the last scene. If you
know what I mean.
So I had tears in my eyes when we was filming it, and
it was like, sad. Actually.
Quite an emotional little.
Yeah,
fucker.
I can imagine, man. So it's, you know, you
think
like,
we grew up
characters.
Quite late in life, so this is part of our, you know what I mean, growing up really, like especially for sort of turning into adults and making money off something we love, you know, alongside our best friends. It's kind of like,
it's weird becoming a man with someone.
Yeah.
It's, like, it's a vibe you can't explain to someone.
Yeah. Pretty much all living with our parents and shit. Yeah. So like, now we've got our own, well
we pay rent at our own places.
We rent our own places.
He goes wearing Yeezys.
And no one can
good,
tell
brother.
Us nothing. I can pay a landlord.
I can buy Yeezys once a year.
That's how you know you're reliving that dream. You can buy
Shout
the Yeezys
Nike as well. That's the dream as well.
There was the 90 the 110s.
Yeah,
I still put them 110s. I refuse to call the
95s.
Even though they don't cost 110 no more.
No, of course. But
are they the new ones as well?
Come on,
they're the ones that just came out, innit?
They're
the ID ones. Because they just released the new.
Yeah, no, he has a lot of time.
I've got
on
them
his
as
hands.
Well. I got them. Literally. Well, actually, they just sent me these IDs.
Oh, they sent you IDs? Yeah. So they made them for you?
Yeah, well, they're the ones they start on.
Right. That's nice. Trying to get rid of them.
Yeah. It's the one they had to stop.
Yeah.
And they're just like, who are we going to send this? Ah, fucking. That guy.
I haven't got my care package yet.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Both sizes. They're both different sizes.
Yeah. What size are you again?
Yeah. Don't worry, man. Nine, these are 8.5, all good.
Yeah, no, I like Adidas.
Eight and a half.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself
and for those facing homelessness,
because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
If I used to sign on, really, for like half a year.
Yeah.
When it got peak, I'd go and work in a call center for another half a year and do the same next year. Just because I was doing other things on the side that I wanted to earn money off.
I worked at a will writing company.
You worked at a will writing company?
I lied in the interview. They employed me as an accountant.
That is
I can't even count.
That is fucking hilarious. Yeah. And when they find you out?
I said in the interview, they were like, are you good with numbers? And I went, have you seen Rain Man? And he went, yeah. And I went, well, there you go. Thinking that he would get the joke. And he went, okay.
Yeah,
and then I got the call.
And they just drops a box of matches and goes, numbers, please.
18. And that I lasted like 2 weeks.
Though. We actually all used to work in a call centre together. I was working there. That's where I met Decoy, another character in the show. And he literally is just that guy, just quiet, smokes weed.
Because the Decoy, and that's the one where it alludes that he's the baby father.
Yeah.
I remember one episode, in the online episode, this was another one I wanted to bring up, it fucking made me laugh. I think it was on the online ones. It's the one where you keep saying he's Jamaican.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm not from Jamaica. You go, but hold that. And it's like, you're shooting a music video.
Yeah.
And you've got like the sort of like uni guy, middle class guy doing the direction. Yeah. And then you've got him with a little Jamaican. That was fucking hilarious. But so we're talking about the garms. So what something you're a sneakerhead.
I
mean, not wrapping them in plastic like some.
I beat the fuck up my Crepes, really. Honest, like, I'm into classic Crepes.
Like. I like all training. I'm not just Nike.
Damn,
I do love Nike. Like, I think Nike the best, but I like everything, man.
Yeah, some more.
Yeah, trying to hit me up.
Feelers.
Yeah. No, I don't fuck with feet. To be honest, Nike and Adidas.
They're done. Reebok. You said it like your range was mad big, and then you went like, really, it's just Nike and Adidas. Really, it's just Nike and Adidas.
I've got a room of boxes like that are probably empty, no trainers in. Away, it's a mess.
Yeah, I can't fuck with the sort of boutique-y. Louboutins. I'm like, I don't want spikes on my.
I don't. That's what I'm saying. Never.
I don't like any of those high fashion.
My nephew sends me with that. What do you think of these? He's 18. He's like
Balenciaga.
That's the era now.
He's on that Iraqi road man.
Okay.
I'm half Kurdish and half Czech. So
Oh, cool. Yeah. And you're just full English?
Yeah.
Full English? I said that with some...
Full
English, mate?
Full English, mate, yeah.
You still think it's coming out?
Yeah. Oh, it's coming. I don't even like football, but no.
How long have you been at Aki?
Eh?
How long have you been at Aki?
No, I'm not.
No, I'm joking.
I've
seen the show.
I get that. I do get the Aki.
But your name sounds like an Arabic name.
No, it's everything. My facial features, way my beard grows, everything. Is, are you,
you could be like Moroccan or something. On paper, my dad's family is, but then my mum's family is Catholic.
But you weren't raised. I've narrowed down what I look like is just every race that every country hates.
Yes, perfect.
That's what I'm saying. Like, every race.
Airports love you.
Do you know what? It's weird, man, because it's like for years, I was always like really just like, yeah, man, fucking the police stopped me. And the airport stopped me. Now I breeze through that motherfucker. Yeah.
Well, it's like you look too much of a stereotype.
If I was gonna be a terrorist, I wouldn't come as a terrorist. I wouldn't come as the thing that you're looking
you
for.
You're a terrorist looking guy.
Yeah. He's obviously not the terrorist.
Yeah, if you're a real terrorist, you want to be more like, hello, mate, how you doing?
Yeah, you want to be inconspicuous.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna come as the thing.
Yeah. When we went to America, Sipa and Asim got stopped like on getting on the plane in England and then detained
when I was out there. I'd never been to America.
Me and Steve straight through.
They rolled out the red carpet. They shook your hands.
Hello sir,
how are you? Welcome home.
Hello sir, how are you?
I had like saying that I'm coming here to work, you know what I mean? Saying I'm here from the BBC, but obviously I don't particularly look Iraqi or you know what I mean, but my full name is Alan Muhammad Kamal Arif Mustafa.
Oh, shit. You got that Muhammad in there.
Yeah, that's what they're like. So I was waiting for time in the
room. We got a Mohammed.
Yeah, exactly.
You know that Mohammed.
Yeah, Mohammed.
That's how you know.
Has he got a beard? Yeah. No beard. No.
Okay, so he's a real one then.
Guantanamo.
I was waiting, and then when I come to the desk, the guy looked up. He's like, oh. You know, because like, I look white. And he was like, oh. And I was like, Adam, how you doing? Put the accent on. Oh, fucking British, love
Trip
a bit.
Up.
Yeah, exactly. And he was like, oh, it's because you got Muhammad in your name. And I was like, yeah.
The only time my name has been an issue is because that's like, I got a double barrel name. So I've got more English name than Jamali.
Right.
And it's when I went to Israel. Oh, they don't play in Israel. I got to, and I was like waiting what booth to go to, and I was like, I'm gonna go to this hipster guy. He was like a hipster looking guy. I was like, yeah, we're gonna vibe. I get there, what are you doing here? Where? And then they took me to, I was in immigration for about 6 hours. And then the one question the woman asked me, she goes, what religion are you? Are you Christian? Are you Muslim? Are you Jewish? And I said, I don't believe in God. And that was, she was, and she just looked at me like, go sit in that room for another 2 hours and find something. You better find something when you get out of there.
I've never had a problem in any airport.
Never had that vibe.
Never.
White devil.
Yeah.
Raekwon was right.
I didn't want to say it. I didn't want to say it. You know what I'm saying?
I am the white devil.
I am literally the white devil.
That's why sometimes. I keep him around me.
You got to have that white devil around. Like if you ever have a meeting with a man, it's you that turns around.
I could have anything in my bag. They don't give a shit. They love me.
Who writes the show? Am I right in saying most of it's improv?
No. It's mostly scripted. So, me and Steve are kind of the writers, but really we all write it together because like we sit in a room, we come up with the ideas together, then we strip it back. Then it would just go to me and Steve and meet up with John as well and the director, Jack Clough's a G. Yeah. And then we'll make it into beat sheets and then Steve will take it, type it up, send it. We edit it, and it's kind of a collaborative process. But like, I'd say Steve's definitely
he's like the filter, at the end. Like, he sort of says what goes in and what doesn't.
Really?
Yeah. Obviously, you can like.
I'd say it's more like Steve's. Steve's definitely the more sort of academic naturally.
So he's more the writing brain.
Exactly, he's the writing guy.
In school,
yeah.
He was mad. Like,
well, you knew Steve from back in the day.
He was my neighbor.
Oh no way!
Yeah, so like.
So you grew up with a brother.
Yeah, like Steve. Yeah, like I used to go into his house every day after school. He is just mad smart. Like, I didn't even know. Like, he would do his homework. He wouldn't even know it. Like, I'd struggle. Like, I'm like bottom set guy. He's just naturally.
He's a sharp cat.
But you're not an idiot. You're just lazy.
Yeah, I am a complete idiot.
Yeah. That sounds like a teacher would say.
Yeah.
You're not an idiot. You're just lazy.
Yeah. You're ugly and you're an idiot.
I'm very ugly. Yeah. I don't know if I'm an idiot. Actually, I'm ugly. I don't know.
I think that's a great way to build up the confidence. Very you're ugly as fuck and you're dumb as shit, mate. So
yeah, I've literally got nothing.
No, I've got to do that once a day because I bring him down. Bring back up.
You gaslight.
Yeah.
You gaslight the fuck out of him.
Yeah. It's like mild torture.
So how did you meet the? I know it's probably get asked this question a lot, but what was the link up situation? So you knew Steve.
I knew Steve.
He's the guy.
I went to college with Asim Chabadi.
Yeah. Okay. And did you do the same course?
Nah. Like, we Because I made beats, like rap beats, and he used to rap. Like,
we was just, you on Fruity Loops?
No,
you had that clap.
I had Reason. Oh, my clap game was strong.
You can know, I had the clap. Fruity Loops had the claps.
Yeah. The 808 startup.
Yeah.
And the MPC.
Yeah.
Oh, like Dilla.
Yeah.
He was doing like the whole sample.
So I was trying, man.
Was you crate digging?
Yeah, big time.
A little part of me, I really want to get an MPC, but the thing is, I don't have.
It's like using hard to work out.
I just don't have the music. You know, like even I watch a YouTube tutorial, and I'll sit there, and they're like, and the guy's talking, he's like, hey, "You hear that? You hear that?" And I'm like, "I don't hear it. I don't hear the." He goes, you hear that? You hear the sort of the beats coming in? I'm like, nope. Nah. Don't know what the fuck you're talking about. Like, I just don't have the ear for it. And I wish I did, you know
yeah,
what I'm
I think
saying?
Everyone does to some extent, though. No,
that's a motivational speaker
system. No, honestly, I do think everyone does. I mean, I don't know anything.
And do you still make beats?
Yeah.
You still fuck around the MPC?
Yeah, sometimes.
Oh, God, I'm going to say it. Listen, he was a fucking huge producer for a while when this was all started.
So he's underplaying how much of a
dope producer. When I first met him, it was like Jay Dilla, MPC. But then he made Emily Sandez, Next to Me, Heaven.
Damn, fam.
Samson.
Damn, you some real low-key dude.
Yeah.
Because the way you're talking about it, like, I was like, yeah, I don't want to hear none of this shit. Yeah.
But I don't even like pop music, I'll be honest with you.
But you was making serious.
I just got lucky, man.
It's not luck, man.
Well, I made it with my friend Harry. He's actually sick.
Like, yeah. But you put something in there. You wasn't just in the room. Him.
He's chatting shit. They work together. Yeah.
And
he spent 10 years in his room making beats.
I'm fucking
beat,
sick.
That was luck, you know, man. I fell into it.
I like how you lean back into these hot levers right now. Yeah. And you said, you know what, fam's going to break it down. I'm fucking shit. I'm the shit hot, mate.
Yeah, no, I'm really good in a studio environment. No, not really. Yeah.
So do you still fuck around making beats though?
Sometimes, not as much as, because this is so like time consuming in a good way.
What,
like,
podcasts?
Yeah, doing podcasts. Yeah. I'm doing a whole circuit of them. Yeah.
That's the game you're in now. Yeah, podcast game.
As a podcast guest.
Yeah.
Really shit one. No listeners.
You were saying so you went to college with Chapati, Asim.
Yeah, and then I met Sipa through like my mates that I used to make beats with as well. Called First and Last, but when Sipa came round, like, he was joke. I was like, this guy's joke. And then we used to call me and say, hey man, hold on to those beats for me though, yeah. But we'd chat shit on the phone for ages, like I'd known him for ages, and it was like, you know, like 40-minute conversation. I met him once. I was like, this guy's joke. And then he come round and we just fuck around. So like, I think
I'd always come round to make music.
Yeah, but it would never happen.
Yeah.
I just use the same bar and about eight different tracks. Yeah. I'm lazy.
but then we go out together, like go to like...
We used to go out.
Yeah, we went out, we fucked, got weird.
It really nearly damaged the relationship.
Yeah, nearly.
That was the first time I had sex. No, we used to go to like open mic nights in Croydon. Oh, my God.
Like, did you perform or was you just busting jokes at people?
Basically, me and the other MCs that we used to rap with, just like, did they more man on stage than in the crowd.
Like literally 18 man in the whole venue, that's it. One chick, a barmaid.
Freestyling outside blazing.
It was relentless.
No. Yeah, that was just like,
it was sick,
that was only 2 years of my life. But...
Yeah.
That's a great time though. You got to look back at those times.
It's a long time too.
That is a mad time. So you see, and was this sort of around when Jump Off was around?
Because
there was that vibe. Remember when Jump Off
was?
Because it was Jump Off, and they were like, it was like when the UK hip hop was still like, it was mostly happening in Bristol.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? That's when I started realizing.
Is that when it was? That was that when it sort of lent towards too much?
You know, I don't want to hear like beatboxers in my ear with gack around their mouth at house parties.
What is it about beatboxers?
I don't know.
What is it? And you know what?
Dubstep beatboxers.
Yes,
only into UK hip hop.
And they're always in fucking central London, and people love that shit. They have so many crowds around them and people love it.
Them and magicians I fucking hate.
You hate a magician?
Oh, hate
and what about David Blaine though? See, I think David Blaine's dope, man.
No, I think he's sick. I like a bit of Darren Brown as well.
Yeah, but I love
that. That's different.
Yeah, Darren Brown's more the psychology shit.
Yeah.
Alright, David Blaine, he's sick, right. But just general magician.
You mean when we're out and someone's like, hey, let me show you something. Like, you know, you're out.
We got off stage, or we got off stage once, after doing, I think, V-Fest or some shit. And a magician came straight up to me.
Yeah, and then his bridge pulls out a camera to see your reaction. It's like, fucking hell.
No one wants to see a magician when they get off stage.
No, that's like the last thing I want to
see. Chicks.
It's just, I just get like a lot of dudes wearing Wu-Tang jumpers and white dreads.
Yeah.
I get
like white dreads.
I get a lot of
just white get dudes boys. Quoting.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Really, just boys.
Around 15.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
How do you keep your Ralph Lauren caps clean?
Yeah, yeah. Like, where'd you get those crepes?
Yeah.
From Nike.
Yeah. On the internet.
Who decided the clothes for the show?
Us. We do.
You did decide the garments?
Yeah.
And do you have to get a stylist in for that? Or did you have those in the archive? Because that hat is like, I'm going to lie, I tried to look for that hat.
That polo hat
is so fucking legit.
Had it twice, lost it as well.
Now you've got a cream version.
Yeah. We've had three of them actually, and they're all fucking...
Mm. Basically what it is like, when we first started, we had a few little bits in our cupboards still from back in the day, bare minimum.
Did you have an Averix?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh man, I would have.
And that Averix I wear in the show,
he would have robbed you for that.
Oh my god, out of principle.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Four years younger, but huge.
Yeah, yeah. And I was ready now. Yeah. But that, I remember when I first saw an Averix. I remember when Morfire.
Yeah.
When I saw the Morfire came out with Oi, and they had the Averix jackets and the R6 bikes. Yeah, all I wanted was the R6 and the Averix.
Yeah. That's all I wanted.
And I wanted the 8-ball one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or they had the one with the samurai and the dragon.
Yeah.
But the one I wear on the show it's got the big eagle on it, it's the blue one, is that's my Bredgins for my ends, and he still asks me back for it now. He's got the He still wants to shot it.
Yeah, he still wants to get his Averix back.
Yeah. But what we do is we'll go on like eBay and Wavy Garms.
Because it's like it is. Oh, Wavy Garms,
come back, so it's all kind of, and which makes it more expensive again now.
Yeah, for
Duke's Cupboard, guys.
It's hard to get that iceberg history.
Yeah.
I've been looking forever for like a full Moschino. I want the shirt matching the trousers.
Oh, well, we got
and that full Moschino thing with the writing on it.
Pay out now. Yeah, you've got to pay the big money.
Yeah.
Even though it's second hand, but still.
No.
Because
back
in the day, you'd have to be someone to be able to rock those garms. Now you've got like 19-year-old posh kids from North London wearing. Dripping in machine.
Yeah,
but that's not like we're just very fortunate that it came back around at the same time, you know.
Well, the show hit at a cultural time where that stuff was.
Yeah. We're lucky to just be in sync with it.
Yeah, exactly, because you
definitely felt like you was working with the time than opposed to trying to be like, we're bringing this back.
Yeah, no, exactly.
It kind of was, you know what I'm saying, though?
When
it's
we first started the YouTube stuff, it was more like, wouldn't it be funny if we're talking about our, you know, days previous 10 years ago,
like laughing at our hair gelled and like,
wouldn't it be funny if these guys were still trapped in the past? They look like they're in 2003, but it's now, you know, 2008 or whatever, you know what I mean? And it's not, so it's not far in the future enough for it to be cool again, so they're just trapped in this time warp. Then what happened was it all came back around again, so it's just,
and then that helped with the whole raves, and
that helped us fucking basically earn money and go spit.
I think because it sounds like it worked out. It goes back round again, doesn't it? Because now you're back to doing actual bars and the music and
It's mad.
You know what I'm saying?
But just with less responsibility because I can fuck about.
Yeah, everything. That's a good life.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, no, sick, man.
You got your own.
Soon to end though, man.
Yeah, for you.
Back to the cool set.
Yeah, he's gonna be fine. He's going back to make them dope ass beats. Yeah. You don't think he ain't been working on commercial bangers? He's got some bangers. He's still getting PRS checks.
Yeah. Big up Emily Sande.
Yeah. Maybe I can come fiddle with the wires and shit.
I'll get you a job somewhere. Yeah.
Get me a job.
All right, bro. I think we're good. I was really looking forward to this one, and you guys ain't disappointed, man. Thank you for chopping up with me. I know you man's a busy brother.
Thank you for having us.
And I'm you know what, like, you know, people always say this interview, like, I'm looking forward to I'm really looking forward to seeing this last season.
Nice.
And you know, I'm looking forward to seeing what you guys do next, you know. I know it's always that hard thing, isn't it? What are you gonna do next? And it puts pressure and bullshit on this idea of, you know,
what are we gonna do next? Probably the film, mate. So
Are you planning to do the future with it?
Your words.
if anyone said anything, it was quoted by Jamali. Apparently now I'm a producer on a film I don't fucking know about.
Did someone say a film?
I think that's the plan, and
I'm down for that.
Little other things. But obviously I'm a big fan of your work.
Oh, you're kind,
bro. I said it before, but you know, you told me to say it on camera as well.
I mean, I want people to actually, because you know, because you know, we're going to do the whole interview just be that clip.
You wanted your older to approve of
It's going to be that clip over and over again. Like, I'm a big fan of what you do.
Promo clip.
It's just me.
That's all your older
That's the whole promo clip.
Yeah.
But
he actually hates your work, so
I mean, I appreciate it. I could see where he would look in my eyes the whole interview.
You attack my people. Yeah.
Do you know what? That's one of the biggest criticisms I've always got. People, you fucking hate white people. I remember I got that one time. I did this gig in the middle of fucking nowhere.
Yeah.
And one guy went, "You're fucking racist to white people." And I go, I'm half white. And he goes, "All right." And that was it. He goes, "Oh, fair enough." That was it. There was literally no other comeback to that.
Yeah.
You always get that shit. You hate white people. Yeah. I'm fucking half white.
Yeah.
And it's always that weird criticism. It's like, they're like, "Ooh, you're talking about race." I'm like, I'm talking to Nazis, you fuck.
Yeah.
Like, I'm talking to the epitome of racism.
I'm allowed to hate those ones.
Yeah, I'm allowed to hate those people.
You're supposed to hate those ones.
You're not being fair. More fair can I be of a fucking fascist, you fucks? Like, it's just like, it's a weird fucking concept people have.
It's a tough one, though, isn't it? Because being a journalist, you've got to, because I see yourself holding yourself back sometimes.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's hard, isn't it? Like,
no, bro, I mean,
talking to complete insane.
Yeah, to mental people. And it's hard talking to mental people like they're sane.
Yeah.
You know, and it is that thing of you have some response. But I mean, there's a reason why I don't, you know, I'm trying to get back into the comedy and shit, because it's just, you know, it's too much. Because I'm not, again, it's like, I'm not a journalist.
Yeah.
I'm a fucking.
You do well, though, man.
I appreciate it, man. I do thank you for that. Mm. But like, I'm a fucking, you know, because I grew up watching like the whole Louis Theroux.
Yeah. But that's, Broomfield, I see that in there as well.
And he's, you know, and they're like the best.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm, man. Yeah, he's a fucking, he's,
but
he's
I
great.
I think you've got a great balance, because being a, we get asked to do, you know, sometimes it might, it's not the same, but like, do you guys want to do this charity thing in character? It's like, oh, when you're doing comedy and sound it serious, it's kind of hard to balance, isn't
it? Yeah, but like, I like what you did with the whole comic relief, though.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Yeah, that was a sketch.
Like, yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
but like,
you're going to go to Africa looking at starving people with pizza grinder. It's a bit inappropriate, isn't it?
Yeah. Genuine crying.
Yeah.
The madness.
Yeah. Yeah, but I think you got a nice balance, man.
Yeah, it's kind. It's kind. Do you, that's actually one thing that is, do you, how, because I see sometimes when you do interviews that you do a character, you do the character.
Most of them have been in character.
Because I know that there is like a sort of like, you know, there is a, because I remember the first time I met you, and then I got a friend of mine who's a fucking massive fan of yours called Sarah Callahan. She's going to be fucking jealous as fuck that I'm interviewing you right now. And she'll blow her mind.
Me as well, is it?
Nah.
I mean, you know. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Yeah. You're a nice counterpart. He's really like, he's the cool, fries, man. You're the ketchup.
Yeah,
but
I'm plus.
Nah, I'm playing. But yo, but yeah, and one of the things is, you are like, you know, you can tell that there is a lot of you in the character. Not saying obviously there is, it's an extenuation of yourself.
Yeah.
But do you prefer doing interviews not in character? Because I've never been a character. So I don't know. Would you prefer doing?
We've only ever done things in character.
Why?
Just to keep, because it's a mockumentary and we wanted to keep it, like, all our Instagrams are all in character, and we just always wanted to. Actually, this might be the first one me and you have ever done together at a character.
Yeah, wow.
Damn.
Wow.
The exclusive.
Exclusive.
No one will give a shit, but...
and that, all the comments are going to be like, oh, they're in character, fucking pricks.
No, literally no one will give a shit.
He's quite similar to his character. Well, I did a little documentary for Nando's. I went out to Mozambique and I thought I was being quite sweet and genuine. And they're like, what's Grindr being a bit weird for? Fucking hell.
Do people call you Grindr on the road?
Yeah, all the time, man.
Damn.
No one knows me as who I am, like. But, that, but that's because we've done everything in character. We just wanted to like really put everything
or when
into
they
our
do
art.
Say your real name, it's fucking weird.
Yeah. Now because of Insta, we built up our personal Instas. We're like, Sifa, fucking I saw when you and Kieran was out in
Yeah, that's mad.
How's Barbados, man? good.
There is that weird thing in it, because I'm not as big as you cats, but like there is that fucking weird thing. I remember I was in a you have fucking respect there. Put some respect in your tone when you say that, Jamali. I'm just letting you know. But but there is that weird thing in it when people know aspects of your life.
Yeah.
You know, I remember I was in Amsterdam and someone went Jumanji, and it was my and I was a bit freaked the fuck out.
Yeah.
I was like, what the fuck? I'm out here trying to bun the hash suit, look at these hookers.
Yeah.
And then you're calling man's
just
name.
Look, just
yeah,
look.
Yeah, mate, yeah, just look. Yeah. Just look, hold the 50 quid in your pocket.
Yeah.
But
check
it there. Yeah, okay. You always have the 50 quid separate. Yeah. Just in case shit gets crazy. Yeah, I'm saying, just in case it gets crazy.
Yeah.
I'm walking around with my collars up.
Yeah.
With the hood up, you know what I'm saying? Looking like a flasher in the '60s. But like there is that weird. How did that element hit you when did you first know, oh damn, I'm famous?
Well, we're not that famous. So
bro, you're pretty famous, man.
Not annoyingly. Do you know what I'm saying? It's not like so it's kind
people
of
people ain't
like,
trying to take photos of your like you in and put it in a tabloid newspaper. But,
nah,
but
exactly.
It is still like
sometimes,
you know, why you're eating people
as
are coming
more
up
and
to
more
you,
goes
man.
On, what I don't like is someone going, can I take a photo? Like, yeah. And it's got like that. Like, what are you doing? Yeah, I'm not a fucking animal. Yeah, get in the photo. Yeah. Or if people do like a sly one on the tube.
That's weird.
You know, like I want to be able to relax and fucking fall asleep on the tube. You know what I mean?
I think it's hard. All the time, it's hard to just, it's rare, but you have to just accept it.
Like. Yeah, we super appreciate it as well. Like, it never happened overnight like that. YouTube, then a pilot, and then a series that no one really watches, and one that some people watch, and now some people, you know what I mean? It was like really gradual and like, so...
But you got based in America now, because I remember when I was in LA, people were saying like, "Have you seen what's that? Have you seen that show? People just do nothing." And they were asking me, and I was like, and I was trying to explain to them, like, you got to understand why that's called big in England is because there's people like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Because even watching that show, you're watching, you go, oh, "Fuck, I know that
it's
fucking
culture.
Guy."
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
You know,
yeah.
And it did translate in America, you know, because Americans sort of, especially like when it's like a good British sitcom, they latch onto.
I think now because of the internet and people like Ricky Gervais, that they get the English humor, but also culture-wise, we wouldn't sort of be anywhere close to them understanding it if it weren't for people like Skepta and Stormzy and shit, like, because then they do their research.
We all
like,
build each other up.
And yeah, exactly. Like,
you looking to go over there? Like more?
I think we might be planning a little something for the end of the year.
Okay, okay.
But just naturally, not like go over there, like try and force.
It'll probably,
get the agent,
like
get the
people.
Fucking sunglasses.
It's all bullshit out of there, with, especially with music. I know music and with this, it's all bullshit.
You know music, do you?
I do know. Let's say a million sold. it's all bullshit, though. Like, yeah. We literally have to sift through it all.
But you're big out there, isn't it? I saw like.
You know, it's weird.
On Sway Show.
Yeah, do you know? I won't say I'm big out there. Do you know, me and Sway was crazy. Yeah.
Did he have the hat on?
Yeah, oh mate, he wouldn't
I love
it off.
When Dame Dash told him to stop wearing that.
Yeah. When Dame Dash was like, take off your hat, and he's like, nah.
Stop wearing a hat.
And it's when Marlon Wayne said to him, like, man, he goes, I love Sway. He goes, Sway wore the hat to the White House. Like, Sway's in a full suit with the hat. And it's not really under the hat anymore, I don't think. But Sway, do you know what? Meeting Sway was a cool man. Yeah. And he was just like, I remember it's only happened to me a few times where I've met someone and they've obviously seen the show or whatever. Because again, the show's it was on a channel no one fucking watched it, but it was such a weird show that people who had watched it remembered it because it's a fucking black dude talking to fucking Nazis, like shit. Then doing stand up in between, like it was just weird. And then when I met Sway, it was that weird feeling. You go, damn! Like I remember watching this guy in hosting the Juice and Supernatural battle online, and just being like, you know, this guy was like watching this dude mad. You're massively important culturally.
Yeah, definitely,
and then seeing him and then him sort of knowing your name even or playing my stand up bit and then talking about it, and it was weird, it was real.
And Ebro loved you as well, and he gives, you know, he's hard to impress.
I like Ebro. I think he's
was a hard interview, but
really it seemed you know, sometimes you see people and you're like, oh, they're getting shat on, and it looked like you was like both like on the same level.
Yeah, I mean it was cool. It was
held it up.
And it's early in the fucking morning.
Yeah.
Oh God, they want to do that stuff like 7 o'clock in the morning.
Really?
And I'm just like, I'm tired.
And they're American, ready to go.
Yo, and I'm a lazy dude.
Yeah.
Naturally.
Same,
it's in my bones.
We're from England.
I'm saying it's like our space. Our speed is lazy.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was just mad early in the morning. I was like, fuck, man. You know what I'm saying? Because it's always, and I always find interviews hard. That's why me trying to do the podcast, I try and just have a natural conversation. Because I find doing interviews fuck difficult, man. It's always answering the same question. Constantly. I'm saying, and because you know, I understand that you have to kind of get the, you know, answer that some people don't know, but it's just like, fuck me, man, you know. But yeah, they're meeting them guys, but yeah, in America, it's a weird place, and I don't think I understand America.
It is a weird place.
I've only ever been to LA, so that was.
Oh, you've only been to LA?
Yeah,
man. So you don't get a good perspective of America from there, I think.
New York's got more, the people I felt were more friendly, like more of a vibe.
You said it's more similar to London than LA.
I see New York, I understand. Like I go to New York and I go, oh, I get this place. I go LA, it just, LA feels like a road. I'm constantly on a road and I never really reached there. But you never really reach there because there's no epicenter.
There's no center at all.
There's like, nothing.
If you want to go to one shop, you got to drive to the store.
And it's like an hour.
Get to one shop and then go to another one.
And the bars close at 2, which can fuck off.
I felt weird, I was like, you know, I don't catch a vibe to one, it's gonna be sick, and I'm like, all right, everyone's going home. I don't catch a vibe to one. How's it when I watch people's Instas, where's that? We did go strip clubs three nights in a row, that's why there's like a big strip club. That's why there's like a big strip club, unless you can't have beer, they give you non-alcohol beer in the strip club, so some licensing issues, unless you go to the hood ones. I remember strip clubs in America, I remember, because when I was doing the second season, I was in the backwards, bro.
I mean, I was in like Oklahoma, South Carolina, and me and my cameraman Henry, I'm putting him on blast right now. We used to go to these titty bars, and we we went to this strip club, and we went to one in Oklahoma where you had to sign a release form before you get in to say, because it's a Bible belt. Yeah, they're like, you're going to see some titties.
You got to sign the
contract. Yeah, you got to sign the contract.
Yeah, and then, let God know.
Yeah, we went to one in Kentucky. And I think it was Louisville, Kentucky, and the one pregnant was sitting down. And we're like, why is this stripper sitting down? And she stood up. She was like 5 months pregnant. And you just go, wow, I'm tipping extra for that, I guess. Oh, and it's just, it's a mad place. But no, but you're going to catch a different vibe. But you do plan to go out there, you think?
Yeah, definitely. So I wanted to just quickly say, I'm not going to say the name, but so these lot all left, and I was left with another person we know in one of the strip clubs, and it was their first night, so I was like, yeah, fuck it, I'll stay. And then
because that was the reason.
Just for him.
It's his first night,
I hate strip clubs, just so you know. But and then fucking I see him come out of his private dance, and the stripper's got a bouquet of flowers in hand. You know, you get like the little going around with flowers but no one buys them, especially for a stripper. So he's got a whole bouquet of the roses. I was washing my hands in the toilets, and I heard her in the cubicle going, it's weird. The guy bought me roses.
That is hilarious. So he fell in love.
Great
T-Pain songs
have been
made from that. That's how you know T-Pain singing about that shit.
Texting my ex.
But I think, you know, especially because I know the show's being shown out in America as well, man. It'd be good to get, you know.
Yeah, definitely. Wasteland, same
thing. We had a sick time when we were there.
No, sick, man. It'd be good to get back.
It's
surreal going somewhere and people know who you are.
Just like where they film like fucking massive films, and then the guy's like, hey, people just do nothing, guys. What?
Or everything's GTA as well.
Everything's GTA man.
That's great, bro. All right, bro. I think we're good. Thank you so much.
Everything's GTA.
GTA. That's how we're going to leave it. That's the name of this episode, is everything's GTA.
Let's go run people over.
Let's do that. But no, but to do the wrap up, I know you mans are busy, and I really appreciate you coming down. And because I mean, when they asked me to do this podcast, and they were like, what guests do you want? And you guys were one of the first names. I was like, yeah, I want to get these dudes down. In terms of comedy sphere, I really, you know, and I'm not trying to be all sentimental here, but I actually really respect what you do, man. And I think it's something about, you know, pushing the culture in the right way. And it's hard. It's a hard balance, you know, and you sort of see other people do it sometimes, and and you feel like we're being laughed at. But I never felt that with you, man. And you know, it seems genuine, and you guys are funny as fuck, man. So if you haven't seen the show, you need to watch the fucking show, man. That's basically for the people out there. If you haven't seen it,
please watch the show. It might be the last thing we have
to do.
He needs
more Nike ID trainers.
Yeah.
This might be the last time you see these guys.
I don't know anyone that buys IDs anymore.
Who doesn't buy IDs anymore? Who goes to the ID shop?
No idea.
And sits there with the ID person.
Wait, hold on. Nike give me a personal trainer sometimes. Thank you, Nike. Went into the showroom. They had these on the side. I went, can I get them? They're like, where are their IDs? And they just haven't been designed yet. And then I got them.
Oh,
wow. So, living a fucking dream.
I wouldn't want them.
I have not.
Shut the fuck up.
All right, man. Thank you, brothers. Appreciate you, man. All right. All right, that was just People Just Do Nothing. Hilarious. Hilarious dudes. They're the ones when I found out they were coming. I was real excited. But tune in for next episode, man. We got Ian Sterling coming. He's also a good friend of mine and a very, very, very funny man.
Jamali 9000. Jamali 9.
Jamali.
Jamali 9000 from Mars. Just land over Max with the computer. My wings expand on Earth, around the universe. The superhero just written a verse. The J on my shirt for Jamali. Never using the Molly. Walking down the galaxy, computers on my hand. Built in like I'm a man. Machine since I was growing up with children. Mechanical rapper putting a robot flow together. I made a steal in any weather. Disguised more than Spider-Man in a sweater. Optimus way after prime. Standing on top of the world, I gotta shine. Just like my pop's new Cadillac CT6. The patch on my eye, I be Rick. The lyrics are slick, like new now wave grease.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
Well, something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode too.
We're professional unprofessionals, so if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.